Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, I think this is part 6 in our series, Best Leads for Creative Financing Deals. On our last episode, we talked about high-end properties, so over $1 million, and how you can make money up front, how you can make cash flow over a term that you negotiated, and how you can make a really big payday on the back end of it as well if you stay in the middle. So if you haven't listened to that, go back and check that one out. So that this series continues to make sense to you.
Yes.
So, guys, today we're going to be talking about land. Take it away, Jeff.
So one of the things, we're going to end this series with this one, but there is like one more that I want to cover, but it's going to require a lot. We can't do it in a 30-minute period of time, and that's going to be commercial.
Okay.
So we'll have to do a whole separate kind of series on that. But
let's do it.
But land is interesting, and here's why terms are so important when you're going to deal with land. So there's no income coming in, right? So if you borrow money, first of all, borrowing money on land is a little different than borrowing money on a single family or a multifamily or commercial property. What do lenders typically lend right now, whether it's conventional, hard money, you know, private money? Where are they comfortable lending?
70, 75.
Maybe even 80% loan to value, right?
Yeah.
On land, that is not the case. So typically you're going to have, and I'm not saying you can't find any, I've found some, but you're looking more at 50%, like best case scenario.
That they would lend on.
Yeah.
So, and it would probably be based on your income as well, right?
Well, if you went conventional, yes. If you're, you know, looking at hard money, which is more than likely that you would be doing.
Looking for hard money.
Yeah, you're most likely not getting.
It'd be a lot harder to get a conventional loan.
Unless you're super good as far as financials and you have the money to, because there's no income.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's strictly debt.
Yeah.
So most of the time you're going to look at using the hard money or private money to purchase land. And that's where it becomes difficult, because either you have to get it at a super good price or you
negotiate some creative financing.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm going to go through an example. This is an example that we're going through right now. And we'll add to this as some things
develop. As the
develop.
Deal progresses.
Yeah. But I'll show you why we're in it, and I'll show you why we were able to stay in it, and this is how you'd probably want to structure something on land.
Perfect.
Okay. So about a year and a half ago, we found through a tax delinquent list. So it was a parcel of land in a city here in Utah that is certainly growing, and 10 years ago, most people it was kind of farmland.
Yeah.
So, but certainly growing now. And this gentleman owned 6.2 acres. So it's not like we're not buying hundreds or thousands of acres here. It's a small parcel, but not a lot. Okay. So it's zoned agricultural. So had been used for, I'll tell you what he used it for, storage.
Okay.
So he had all kinds of stuff just sitting around on this land. However, as this city is being developed, things are starting to develop around it. Okay. And it borders, so it butts right up to a highway. And when I say a highway, that's what it's called, a highway, but it's only one lane each way.
Yeah.
Okay. And then It is right on the city's border. So right across the street from that highway is a new city, different one. So right across the street, there's a commercial strip mall. So like a hospital or an urgent care type thing and some different kinds of commercials. Correct. Yeah. So when this was brought to us, he was probably $10,000 behind on taxes, which seemed like a lot because it's vacant land and taxes on vacant land's not a whole lot. He was facing a potential tax sale. And so we looked at it, and really what I liked about it was that it was in the path of progress, which is the kind of the thing that you're looking for with land.
Yeah.
You know, if it's out in the boonies, I mean, you might wait 5 years, 10 years, 20 or more years before progress starts to get to you, in which case, you know, you just got to, it's more speculative. I don't like speculative. I want something that, you know, in the near future that we can do something
with. A little more certainty.
Okay. And so we decided to purchase it and see what could happen. And we had gone to the planning and zoning and asked them what could be built on this land. You know, certainly something that you want to know prior to purchasing any kind of land. And the planning and zoning told us a number of different things, that maybe not all the answers that we wanted. But initially, he told us we could get 3 to 5 houses per acre. Okay, so with 6 acres, we're looking at somewhere between 18 to 30 properties, lots that we could develop there, and minus, you know, some land that you need for roads and that kind of stuff, but in that vicinity.
Yeah.
Okay? So we're like, the price that we were looking at was like $260,000 for 6.2 acres, which is about, $40,000 an acre, which is pretty cheap.
Okay.
So actually what we had initially done is we tried to wholesale it, and we were trying to make, I think, $300,000 by wholesaling it. So I think we were trying to sell it for around that 500, 550 range, somewhere in there. And we structured terms. So the goal was we were going to wholesale it. We immediately recognized that it would be better for someone to hold this land if they didn't have to go get a loan and cash it out, right? So we structured some terms, and I'll talk about that in just a second. And we didn't find anyone. We didn't find a buyer.
Yeah.
So now we had an issue. We either had to go back and renegotiate, we had to terminate our contract, or we had to decide if we wanted to purchase it ourselves. So we actually decided we were going to purchase it. So let's go through the terms and see why this became possible, and then I'll kind of tell you where it's going from here.
Perfect.
Okay. So we purchased it for $260,000. We ended up giving the seller $40,000 up front, which is probably more than I would have liked. And this is where it got a little confusing, because he was supposed to take care of those back taxes out of that money. And some things got, things didn't go the way we thought. So he took that money, and the taxes didn't get paid, and we ended up having to pay him later. But you know, that's things that you got to be careful about when you're dealing with stuff like this. So he owes about $100,000, and it's on 2 equity lines. So the total payment for the underlying loan is $500 a month, and it's interest only. Okay, so we agreed to give him $500 on top of that for his equity for the next 36 months. So we're paying $1,000 a month. Actually, the total $1,000 is going toward principal. $500 is going toward his underlying loan. $500 is going to him each month. And then he got the money that he needed up front.
Okay.
So Other than the $40,000, the $1,000 a month, is that something that's a lot more doable than going and borrowing maybe hard money, having a 6 month or a 12 month term at best, having it accrue at, you know,
12% interest,
$2,000 a month.
Yeah.
And then probably having to go get an extension, having to pay for that, and then having this accrue some more.
Yeah, so, it's just not feasible, yeah, really. I mean, you're going to have deep pockets because that's pretty high risk.
Yep. So we could have even structured this as interest only. We could have done principal and interest. We could have done anything we wanted.
Yeah, but principal only is the best.
Oh, well, I agree. So, so we've owned it now for a year and a half, and we immediately went back to the planning and zoning, and here was the issue. The issue is that they were waiting on this big builder that was bringing the sewer, like, across the mountain or something to do a large development, and that this whole area was going to be able to tap into that, and they were going to spend like $1 million doing it, and the city absolutely wanted that like no other. So but when we went to go meet with them, there were some issues. So now all of a sudden we were going to have to wait because we didn't have the utilities to us yet.
Right.
So this kind of threw a little wrench. By the way, when you deal with the cities and land and development, do you think that there's ever any kind of hiccups that occur? Or do you think that every time they tell you something, that's the way it happens?
Yeah, there's never issues with the city.
Correct. So plan ahead accordingly.
And that's how do you plan for that?
Well, the way that you plan for it is that you don't put yourself in a short time frame,
right?
And
right,
where hard money is eating you up.
Yeah.
So we've sat on it for, like I said, a year and a half, and now we can get the utilities there, and so we've just been. So we were just presented with an option. And I find this to be interesting, and it was a decision that my partner and I had to make just, a day or two ago. And so we want more units. We want more lots. And it really doesn't make sense. It butts right up to a highway. Why do you want $350,000, $400,000 homes sitting right up against this highway? When right across the street is commercial. Retail. I know it's a different city, but it really just doesn't make sense. But this is their master plan. So we have pushed and pushed and pushed, and they're not opposed to it. However, this is a small project. This is 6 acres, whether it's 18 lots or it's 40 lots, it's a small project. However, and like I said, this city is kind of booming. So they don't want to deal with this. They really don't. This is kind of like a headache to them. So the head of planning and zoning contacted us and said, "I will expedite all of this for you if you stay on that low density, which would be the 3 units per acre. And otherwise, if you want to go, you're going to have to go through all these planning commissions, and it's probably going to take a minimum of a year and maybe longer. And there's no guarantee that it will get approved, although it probably would. And the higher density would be 5 to 8 units per acre. And so we had a decision to make. Do we want to kind of stay in this longer? And, we have such good terms that we could and kind of shoot for, the big money. And when I say big money, let's think about this. So right now, this is what we have kind of in our minds. If we go and just paper these lots, so have an engineer draw up how it's all going to come together, and we'd have to pay for that. And now we get 18 lots all set up. And now we're going to sell off those lots either individually
or
to a builder, right? Uh-huh. And those lots will probably be worth $65,000 to $75,000 per lot, somewhere in that range, as is, okay? Where we don't have to go finish them and put in the roads and do all of that. That we could be done with this maybe on the market in the next 90 days. So toward the middle to end of the summer, perhaps, while the market's still very good. And we'd have 18 of them. So what's 18 times 70,000?
1.26 million.
Yeah. What are we into this for? 260.
Yeah.
Plus there'll be some expense with
engineering.
The engineering and the papering. But $850,000, $900,000 gain, is that a good one?
Yeah, I think I would go for that. I'd go for the short.
Yeah, and that's what we've decided to do.
The shorter time
frame. Yeah. But here's the other good part is that what we realize now is that we kind of have some insider information. And the insider information is that as far as all the other landowners that like are adjacent or around us, the utility, they don't know about the utilities. What we're going to do is we're going to go this route. So we're going to get this done at 3 and get it expedited. But now we're going to go and try to acquire some of the other land around us because they may still think that they're years away from being able to sell this. And the quicker that you can do something with the land, the more it's worth. The longer you have to wait on the land, the less it's worth. So that's what our goal is. But really the whole point of this is to point out, one, that you can make a good amount of money with land. You got to have a little more expertise in how to deal with some things. And to be honest, it's not my forte. We've been lucky because we had someone kind of helping us and someone that knows how to talk to the city and
is get a developer.
Yeah. And so that's been truly helpful to us. But what we were good at is that we structured it in a way that allowed us to stay in it. Because otherwise, we wouldn't even be able to get to this, you know, $1.2 million, whatever it's going to end up being. But it's going to be a nice profit, that's for sure. I mean, even if we had to fire sale this and we only made $500,000-$600,000, I mean,
yeah, you're
not bad, right? So
yeah, you're buying lunch that day.
And when we complete this, so as we go further, I'll tell you a little bit about how we used some creative financing again on this deal.
Again?
Yes, again. So it gets a little more in depth, unless you want to chat about it right now.
Let's do it, because I'm intrigued.
All right. So what happened was, we paid the seller $40,000. We've been making payments, and we've talked on a previous episode how we did a rehab last summer, and we did substitution of collateral, and we had about almost $400,000 at our disposal.
At 2.5%. Yeah, 2.5% interest.
Correct. And so we're always looking at, you know, what can we use that money for, right? So we went back to our seller on that note and said, would you be willing to lend on this project? But we want you to lend in second position because we have those equity lines that are ahead of him. But we'll pay you additional interest. And here's where this project is going. I mean, super safe. And we also want you to put up the money when it's time for us to paper the lots, so do the engineering. And because the engineering can cost some money. It could cost like $3,000+ per lot. So, could be another like $60,000 or so. And so What we're looking at is how can we not have any money in this, and how do we have all the money set up to do it so that, you know, it's none of ours?
Yeah.
Okay. So he said, sure, I'd be happy to do that. This is the kind of rate I want. So we're paying him an additional interest rate, but accrues.
Okay? How much?
So we're paying him another 5%. Okay. Interest only, just accrues. And it's on a pretty small amount. Okay. So what we decided to do is say, okay, so we're going to go. Remember, the seller is kind of wrapped into this whole thing. So we're still paying him. So we decided, what if we just take the seller out? So we went back to the seller and said, hey, we've got another year and a half to keep paying you. If we paid you off now, like next week, would you take this much money? And it was a $25,000 discount. And he said, well, I'll take 15. Okay. So, by the way,
a $15,000 discount?
Yeah, that's going to easily cover our interest to our new lender.
Okay.
Okay. So, he took a discount. We paid him off. We were able to borrow enough money to pull our $40,000 that we paid down payment back out. So, now we have no money in this. We actually even pulled out the money that we've been paying for the last year and a half.
For the principal
payments. Yeah, so we have $0 in it.
And we have enough
money to continue to pay our lender back from his own money. So he lent us enough that we have enough to continue to pay him the monthly payment. We have the money now lined up to do the rest of what we want.
For engineering.
Correct. And so we got a discount by borrowing money that we did substitution of collateral on.
This is killer. This is, guys, I hope you're catching this, because there's so many gold nuggets here. This is so creative. This deal just being able to structure great terms for that land to begin with. And then, you know, taking this other deal that you guys did last year, that you got substitution of collateral on, now taking that funding to pay this guy off and pull all of your guys' money out of it. Now you're zero risk,
right?
No risk at all.
Yeah.
You pulled all your money out, and now you have the money to go get these lots papered so that you could sell them.
Yep.
So you can sell them entitled.
Yep.
And that's genius, man. That's...
Well, and the good part also, and these little things, these little details kind of get missed, is that, so this particular lender, the guy that we did the deal with, okay, he loves us. He loves us. So we also took a portion of his money and did a wholesale deal. And that wholesale deal actually is closing like next week. So we borrowed another $220,000, put it in there. So we're going to pay him $2,500. We don't have to. We're just going to say, you know, thanks for trusting us. Thanks for allowing us to do that. We're making, I think, $35,000. And so we're going to pay him $2,500 just for doing that. So now he wants to meet with us because guess what? He has some other money, and he would like to chat with us about how we can work together. Well, I'm open to that. Anytime that someone has money that they're willing to lend somewhere between 2.5% to, let's say, 8%, and they trust you, he trusts us enough that he did a land deal in second position and is basically like giving us a line of credit to finish what we're doing. I mean, that relationship is gigantic.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know how much money this guy has. I mean, maybe he's got a couple, few hundred more thousand. Maybe he's got a few million. I don't know. But...
but you can secure his money with real estate.
Well, this is the kind of stuff that... I know that he likes multifamily kinds of stuff, and I wouldn't doubt that if we contracted to buy some kind of apartment, okay, with terms, I wouldn't doubt if he would lend us like the down payment, which is like, if you can now go offer a down payment of, let's say, 10-15% of the purchase price, that's pretty enticing, or getting a lot more enticing to the seller than if it's more like 5%.
Right.
So, and if we can borrow that money and either offer him some kind of equity position or rate of return that would make sense to him, I mean, that's like borrowing the last 5-15% on the deal. You know, that's like getting up to 100% loan to value. Super hard to do.
Right.
So those relationships, I mean, that's kind of like the lost thing in this whole thing, is that, you know, we did a rehab. We turned into a rehab. We were able to pay off this money. We asked a question. Do you want to get paid off, or would you rather continue to get payments? I'd rather get payments. Great. And then we maintained this relationship. We kind of kept him in the loop of what we're doing, how we're doing it. And he's liked it. And we keep giving him a little bit of, you know, here's a little money, here's a little money. And now he's like, yeah, I like what you guys are doing. So that makes these kinds of deals like possible. And it's all based on relationships.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Man, that's mind-blowing for me. Just the numbers on that and how creative it is.
I'm even more curious if we can go find some more land.
Yeah. Land bordering this one.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I hope we didn't get too far down a rabbit hole from our topic of best leads for creative financing deals. So again, this was all about land, and I mean, that was such a great example, and it's an actual deal you're doing, Jeff. So thank you for sharing that. And wow, that is just so creative. So creative. I don't know what else to say about it, but guys, that a deal like this, a land deal, like I, right now, where I'm at in my business, in my experience, I wouldn't feel confident pulling that deal down, that land deal, but because of course you got a lot more experience, but by structuring great terms to begin with, like you said, you make everything possible from there.
The risk became a lot less.
Yeah.
And I'm not a land expert, although I'm learning more and more. And I've dealt with some land in the past. But land's tough because you're not going to borrow what you think you're going to borrow. I don't care if it's worth $1 million, $10 million, $50 million. You're not going to borrow what you think you're going to be able to. And there's no income. So it's complete debt, and land takes some time.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, for a seller, land takes time to sell. I mean, land sits on the market a lot longer than, you know, anything that's been developed.
Yep.
And so there, you know, there might be more motivation for sellers to take creative financing offers, right?
Well, and when you're dealing in commercial and land, that's where seller financing becomes like very common. I'm not saying everyone will just take your offers, but for single family homes, it's less common. You're dealing with every kind of person that owns real estate. They don't understand this. It's a little more advanced strategy. When you start dealing in commercial, most of them understand, at least to some degree. And even in land, they're looking at, we realize that it could take years to sell this land, or years for it to get into the path of progress.
Yeah. So they're a lot more open to those creative, to financing it, to holding financing on it.
This particular landowner was interested in it because he had some motivation. He was up against a tax sale. Yeah. Tax issue. So
yeah.
Motivation always helps too.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why land is a really good lead for creative financing to wrap it up.
Yep.
All right, guys. I hope you've really enjoyed this episode. There's so much to take away from here in the way Jeff structured this from the beginning to moving in another lender who they did substitution of collateral on. And we talked about that deal in the past extensively. So go back and listen to that if you haven't. Any last words, Jeff, on this series?
No, and we'll probably do, even though I just said that this will probably be the end of this series, but we will
do a commercial.
Yeah, we'll do a commercial one. But we are going to talk about a deal that we did together that I wholesaled to you. And it is, I mean, it's an example that we've used, I don't even know, countless times. But it would also fall into this kind of category, but it was free and clear. So we've already done a free and clear example. So you just got to know that we could have created multiple options on some of these that we've gone over. We chose to just kind of take one. Just know that there's potentially, especially on that free and clear, we could have come up. I think we went over four. I probably could have put together 10. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yep. Sky's the limit.
So hopefully this has been helpful and people start getting a better understanding of when they get a lead, what is at least feasible to be working with.
Yep. And guys, here in the very near future, we're going to be putting up some videos on the podcast and starting a YouTube channel so that you guys have that visual component of these deals that we're doing, which is very helpful. So look for that in the very near future. Give us a shout out on our hotline, 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. You would think I have that memorized by now.
I would think that you would.
Guys, leave your if you have questions about what we're covering on the show, or you want to leave a comment there, or you got a deal that you're looking at and you want to know how to structure it. If you want to work with Jeff, get into his apprenticeship program, hit us up on our hotline. You can also reach us on our website, the www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com, and we have a Facebook page now, the Creative Financing Podcast, so check that out and give us a like on Facebook. Till next time, guys, create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.